Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Devos hearing call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question and answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note, this call may be recorded. I will be standing by should you need any assistance. It's now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Liz King. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Jesse. And thank you for joining today's call regarding Education Secretary Betsy DeVos' testimony on the Trump budget before the Senate Labor HHS Appropriations Subcommittee tomorrow morning. I am Liz King, Director of Education Policy at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, the nation's premier civil and human rights coalition. I'll be the moderator of today's press call. The Department of Education's role as the primary federal agency responsible for protecting the civil rights of all students is critical to ensuring that all children attend warm, welcoming, and high-quality schools that will prepare them for future success. America's children deserve a Secretary of Education that is committed to that work. Since her confirmation, Secretary DeVos has failed to convince us and the American people that she's up to that job. And in her previous testimony a few weeks ago before the House Appropriations Subcommittee, she wouldn't even commit to enforcing the long-standing civil rights principle that federal funds can't be used, even by private institutions, to discriminate. At a time when the nation's schools are more diverse, when the needs of our nation's students are even more complicated and important, we should have a Secretary of Education that understands that her job is to protect and promote the civil rights of every student in this country. Senators tomorrow must push her to explain how the FY 2018 budget request will enable the Department of Education and its Office for Civil Rights to protect children from discrimination as required by law and expected by families. The federal budget is not just about spending. It's a statement of values and priorities. What we choose to invest in says something about who we are as a nation. It's imperative that our federal investments support the education of all children, especially those too long denied. Americans should not be forced to subsidize discrimination. We're joined on today's call by a collection of civil rights leaders who will talk in more detail about their concerns with Secretary DeVos and the Trump budget. First, we will hear from Fatima Goss Graves, Senior Vice President and President-elect of the National Women's Law Center. Then, Mara Kiesling, Executive Director of the National Center for Transgender Equality. Then, Mimi Corcoran, President and CEO of the National Center for Learning Disabilities. Then, Janae Nelson, Associate Director Counsel, NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. And then finally, Eric Rodriguez, Vice President in the Office of Research, Advocacy, and Legislation at the National Council of La Raza. After hearing from each of our speakers, we will have a brief question and answer session and provide instructions for how listeners can ask a question. Let me now turn the call over to our first speaker, Fatima, from the National Women's Law Center. Fatima?
Thank you, Liz, and good afternoon. My name is Fatima Goss Graves, and I am Senior Vice President for Program and President-elect at the National Women's Law Center. Tomorrow, Secretary DeVos will once again defend a budget that takes aim at the most vulnerable students. As hate and discrimination are on the rise in school, this is a budget that proposes to actually cut staffing at the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights. Just as that office is seeing an increase in discrimination complaints, it's a budget that proposes 40 positions at least be slashed. And it eliminates funding for programs like anti-bullying initiatives, mental health services, for after-school programs, for AP funding. These cuts are designed to make room for an ill-conceived plan to drive money to private schools without the requisite protections, with no regard to whether students will actually do better, no regard for whether this is a budget that will make students safer or schools more welcoming. We have been especially concerned with the Secretary's casual suggestion in the House hearing last week that addressing issues like discrimination are simply issues of local concern. or her reluctance to state even the most basic principle that schools that take federal dollars may not discriminate. Congress and the courts put those ideas in place decades ago. They should not be up for debate. And to be clear, though the Secretary has called these baseline questions about discrimination mere hypotheticals, these are not hypothetical issues. At the National Women's Law Center, we hear about African-American girls who've been sent home from schools for wearing their hair in natural hairstyles or for the clothes they wear. We hear about girls who are pressured to drop out or transfer to alternative schools because they're pregnant or after reporting sexual assault. We've all read about girls like Sydney Phillips in New Jersey who was kicked out of her Catholic school simply for daring to challenge her school's ban on allowing girls to play on a boys' basketball team. For these students, it's not enough to say that the department will step in only after the law is broken. The department must also ensure that the federal law isn't broken in the first place. And Secretary DeVos must start by committing to protect the civil rights for all students. This means guiding schools. This means outlining their obligations under our nation's civil rights laws. It means meeting with civil rights experts, with youth advocates, with students deeply impacted by the department's policies, including disadvantaged students, including survivors of sexual violence, students who the Secretary has yet to meet with despite meeting with lawmakers that are hostile to Title IX. It means using her bullhorn to condemn discrimination wherever it occurs. And it means stating definitively that schools that discriminate against students are ineligible for federal funds, even in the form of vouchers. We are counting on the Secretary to fulfill the obligations first promised decades and decades ago. Thank you.
Thank you, Fatima. Next, we'll hear from Mara Kiesling from the National Center for Transgender Equality. Mara?
Thank you, Liz. I am Mara Kiesling, and the National Center for Transgender Equality is the nation's leading social justice advocacy organization, winning life-saving change for transgender people. We represent hundreds of thousands of transgender students across the country, in every state, in every school district, and probably in almost every single school. We are deeply concerned about Secretary DeVos's tenure thus far and extremely concerned about the budget that she will be trying to defend tomorrow. Among Secretary DeVos's first actions in office was to withdraw life-saving Title IX guidance supporting transgender students. Kids are under attack all over America and have a right to expect that the U.S. Department of Education will help defend them. Yet Secretary DeVos, President Obama, and Attorney General Sessions withdrew this guidance. I apologize, President Trump, not President Obama, I apologize. Last week, their position on the Title IX guidance was thoroughly repudiated once again in Whitaker versus Kenosha United School District, in which a child, Ash Whitaker, was under fire from his school, and his position and our position was once again held up by a U.S. Circuit Court. Recent statements from Secretary DeVos before in budget hearings that she would let private schools discriminate with federal dollars is unacceptable, and it is directly counter to significant American principles that public money will not be used to discriminate. Yet what we're seeing from the Trump administration and thus far from the Department of Education is what we're seeing best articulated by Attorney General Sessions, who clearly has no interest in enforcing any federal civil rights laws. We are deeply concerned about the enforcement of Title IX in sexual assault cases in schools, and very much as in the budget cuts to the various programs, in particular the Office of Civil Rights at the Department of Education that Fatima just outlined. It is not too late for the Secretary to change course and commit to protecting the dignity and safety of all students. We urge her to do that. We speak with students. We speak with parents of students all the time. they are really scared right now. Transgender students are under attack. Their families are very scared for them, and they do not believe that the Trump administration and Secretary DeVos will support them. It is not too late for her to change that, and we hope tomorrow she promises to enforce laws, to fight for a budget that will help her do that, and to just generally recognize the dignity and safety of all students. Thank you.
Thanks, Mara. Next up, we'll hear from Mimi Corcoran from the National Center for Learning Disabilities. Mimi?
Thanks, Liz. It's great to be here with everyone. I'm the president and CEO of the National Center for Learning Disabilities, and to be honest, we're deeply troubled by President Trump's current budget proposal. The president's budget cuts billions from federal education funding and healthcare services, truly thwarting innovation and eliminating longstanding initiatives that students, families, and educators rely on. We have three key areas of concern. The first is the elimination of funding for the Supporting Effective Instruction State Grants Program, commonly known as Title II Part A under ESSA. And these grants provide funds to schools for teacher training, professional development, teacher leadership support, and evidence-based strategies to improve teacher effectiveness. The proposed budget eliminates this funding to a tune of $2.1 billion in this current upcoming budget. The newly reauthorized ESSA just updated improved the program by tailoring more funds to schools that need the support most and requiring that activities be based on what works in the classroom. Eliminating these funds show a lack of support for teacher development and improvement, a key to every child's success in public education across the country. The second area of concern is the elimination of a block grant under the Every Student Succeeds Act, known as Title IV Part A. This grant program provides funds to ensure safe and supportive learning environments and access to well-rounded education, including access to guidance counselors, science and arts curriculum, physical education and technology, an education that is well-balanced and robust. The proposed budget eliminates this funding, showing a lack of support for student safety and well-being and a look at the whole child. The Individuals with Disabilities Education Act state grant program, which provides funding for special education services for students with disabilities, would receive $113 million less in the fiscal year 2018. IDEA was created with the promise to fund 40% of the extra cost of special education. At the proposed 2018 levels, IDEA will only cover 15% of those associated costs, shifting the burden to the states and localities already struggling to meet the needs of students. And finally, we're concerned about Secretary DeVos's recent testimony about the budget before the House Appropriations Subcommittee, where she refused to affirm the federal government's role in protecting students' civil rights. In response to a direct question about whether she would step in if a school had discriminatory policies or practices, she refused to say that schools accepting federally funded vouchers cannot discriminate, whether it relates to sexual orientation, race, or disability. In response to a question about whether it's fair for students with disabilities to lose their IDEA rights upon accepting a voucher, she said that the states have the right to decide where students retain their IDEA rights when using a voucher to attend private schools. We at NCLD ask that the Senate Appropriations Committee be diligent in making sure Senator DeVos is considering the major role that the federal government must play in funding programs that set up all our children for success and protect their rights.
Thanks, Mimi. We'll next hear from Janae Nelson at the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. Janae?
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Janae Nelson. I am the Associate Director Counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. Thanks so much for joining us. In advance of Secretary DeVos's testimony tomorrow, we wanted to shed some light on this administration's disturbing approach to civil rights in schools. For almost 80 years, the Legal Defense Fund has been committed to ensuring that all students, regardless of their race, their national origin, and color, have access to equitable educational opportunities. A few weeks ago, we just celebrated the 63rd anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education, which our founder, Thurgood Marshall, litigated. And in holding that racially segregated schools are unconstitutional, the court noted that, quote, education is perhaps the most important function of state and local governments. It is the very foundation of good citizenship. And this is true, but there's also an important role for the federal government to play, which is poignantly illustrated by the Supreme Court's very intervention in the Brown case to outlaw state-sanctioned segregation in public schools. And we should be absolutely clear that despite our landmark victory in Brown, there is still far too much discrimination and bias in our education system. And federal laws like Title VI of the Civil Rights Act were enacted to ensure that recipients of federal funds, including educational institutions, do not discriminate based on race, color, national origin, or other protected classes. Between 2009 and 2016, the Education Department's Office of Civil Rights handled 76,000 complaints. That is a staggering number, and it is just one measure of why we need robust federal enforcement of civil rights laws and regulations in our nation's schools. What's more, the Office for Civil Rights continues to find racial disparities throughout our national education system, from school discipline to access to advanced placement courses. According to the most recent OCR data, Black K through 12 students were 3.8 times more likely than their white peers to be suspended during the 2013-2014 school year. And we see these disparities up close in our docket of school desegregation cases that we continue to monitor and litigate, which is second in number only to that of the Department of Justice's. We also see it in our school discipline cases where students are pushed out or punished harshly and unjustly for matters that are either unsubstantiated or wholly unrelated to education, like suspension for the way a student wears her hair. Unfortunately, Secretary DeVos has shown very little interest in upholding civil rights or eliminating these pernicious disparities that undermine the health of our country. In testimony before the House Appropriations Committee last month, DeVos said that she couldn't think of a single civil rights violation that could be the cause for cutting off federal funding under Title VI. She consistently says that civil rights matters are for local jurisdictions to handle, abdicating the well-established federal role in enforcing civil rights laws. And it's not just her rhetoric that's cause for concern. In one of this administration's first major actions, DeVos repealed the Obama administration's landmark protections for transgender students, as you just heard from our previous presenter. And the Trump administration's budget similarly undercuts important structures in our education system. It eliminates teacher professional development, after-school programs, and supports that improve school climates and provide a well-rounded education. Subcommittee members must demand that Secretary DeVos explain why these cuts are necessary and what potential harm they will cause to our public education system. The Trump administration has also appointed officials at the Education Department with little civil rights background and who have demonstrated direct hostility to school equity. Candace Jackson, for example, the acting Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights, has shown little regard for civil rights mandates that she would be required to enforce, and she has denounced feminism and affirmative action. Carlos Muniz, the nominee to be the department's general counsel, once defended a Florida public university in a government investigation and civil litigation over Title IX compliance issues. He was also the former chief of staff to Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi, who has been an outspoken opponent of LGBTQ rights. These picks, along with Secretary DeVos' own demonstrated lack of commitment to education equity, as well as her continued insistence on the importance of local control above all other considerations, inspire very little confidence that the Department of Education will deviate from the course it has set in the first 4 months of this administration. That makes it all the more important that those of us in the civil rights space continue to demand accountability from the Department of Education. Tomorrow's hearing is a critical opportunity to make the department's inaction on civil rights more visible to more people. It's also an opportunity for Congress to use its budgetary and oversight authority to ensure that the Education Department protects the civil rights of all students. We must continue to educate the public, advocate before public officials, and lobby the Education Department itself to pressure the Secretary and her team to meet their fundamental obligation to protect every child in America's public schools. Thank you.
Thanks, Janae. And last but certainly not least, Eric Rodriguez from the National Council of La Raza. Eric?
Thanks, Liz. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining the call today. And, of course, my thanks to the Leadership Conference for pulling us together on this important issue. I'm Eric Rodriguez. I'm the Vice President of the National Council of La Raza. As has already been said in many ways, education is a civil right and can be a great equalizer in efforts to address social and economic inequality. It has for so many students across the country, including myself and others. But for Latinos, 1 in 4 students in the U.S. public schools are Latino now. That's 12 million students, and nearly 10% of students in the U.S., 4.9 million kids, are English learners. As the other speakers have said, the actions and words of President Trump and Secretary DeVos have given us great concern about the government's continued commitment to civil rights. Folks have listed many, many particular issues. We've seen questionable appointments, regulatory rollbacks of civil rights advancements for kids, and proposed budget cuts in critical areas. Even staff with the best of intentions at the department will have a hard time living up to these goals if they don't have the resources and the capacity to do so. There has been also in recent years a bipartisan consensus on education and a commitment that every student, regardless of where they live, ought to be able to succeed in school. Secretary DeVos's most recent failure to name an instance where she would prohibit the use of federal dollars at schools that were discriminating against students, that just seems like a departure from this goal, and I think she has to explain herself on this. The Every Student Succeeds Act does grant more flexibility to the states, but it's not a license to allow schools to discriminate or violate the civil rights of students. The nation's schools are now majority minority schools, and Latino students are the largest and fastest growing racial ethnic minority in the U.S. public school system. Each of these kids deserves the right to learn in an environment that is free from discrimination. This includes protecting every child, including every Latino child, from discrimination in U.S. public schools and where all federal funds are spent, addressing policies that discourage school attendance by undocumented students or kids living in mixed-status families, investing in public education in a way that seeks to close achievement gaps for Latino kids and other historically underserved groups. The Department of Education has an obligation and a responsibility to serve all kids well and protect children from discrimination in public schools. If the administration doesn't honor this obligation, then it will be up to Congress and all of us to hold them accountable for this. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric, and thanks to all of our presenters. We'll now open the call to questions. Jesse, would you please provide instructions for how people can ask questions?
Of course. Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and 1 on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your touch-tone phone. We will pause a moment to allow any questions to queue. And we will take our first question from Emily Wilkins. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my question. I just wanted to see if any of the people on this call had spoken to lawmakers who are going to be questioning DeVos tomorrow, and if they have a sense of if any of those questions will be similar to the ones that we heard from the House Appropriations Committee 2 weeks ago.
Thanks, Emily. Appreciate the question. I think we'll just open that up and see if anyone wants to respond.
This is Fatima Gox-Graves. I think many of us were less dissatisfied with the answers from the House hearing, so I hope that the Secretary will receive many of the same questions, specifically around her commitment to the enforcement of our longstanding civil rights laws, the investment in that space, and what that would look like for federal dollars going to private educational institutions in addition to public schools.
And this is Mara Kiesling. I agree with Fatima and would also add that whenever a member of the administration that is speaking on topics of interest to us, we will generally talk with members of Congress. After her last performance, I think it's also safe to say that there are a lot of members of Congress who want to follow up on the unsatisfactory and often wrong answers that the Secretary gave.
That's right. This is Janae Nelson, and I fully agree with the previous comments. Secretary DeVos needs to be pressed forcefully on her position concerning Title VI enforcement in particular, and on explaining her definition of school choice and what that encompasses. That needs to be pinned down, it needs to be examined, and it needs to be vigorously interrogated.
Hi, this is Mimi Corcoran from the National Center for Learning Disabilities. Yes, we have provided several questions to senators that we hope will be addressed, specifically how new proposals will impact IDEA rights, and this continues to be an area we'll need clarity on, and we will push senators to be aggressive on it.
Thank you to all of our speakers. Operator, can we have the next question?
Of course. And just as a reminder, it is star and one to ask a question, and to remove yourself from the queue, you press the pound key. And we will go ahead and take our next question from Maria Pena from La Opinion. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes. Thank you for doing this call. I was wondering, when you talked about the number of complaints that have been received by the Department of Education, I think you said 76,000. How many of those involve Latino students, and do you know how many or what percentage have been resolved? And on the other, and the second question is, I know that the gist of your, of obviously your message today is that Secretary DeVos needs to, you know, she has a lot of explaining to do, but I'm wondering what your strategy, what your legal or political or citizen mobilizing strategies are in the event that, that you do find that her agency, the Department of Education, is not enforcing or protecting civil rights for all students. So, you know, basically, I haven't heard anything as to whether you're considering lawsuits or what exactly is your game plan, your plan to make sure that those civil rights get protected. Thank you.
Thanks, Maria. Oh, sorry. Thanks, Maria. Let's start with Janae, and then Eric, and then anyone else who'd like to speak to that question. Thank you.
That's great. I'll defer to Eric on the stats for Latino students if he has them. We don't have a breakdown, or I certainly don't have one at my fingertips, of the 76,000 complaints, though given the number of school children in the U.S. who are students of color, we can certainly assume that many of them involve children of color, Latino, African American, and others. In terms of a legal strategy, we have been at the forefront of fighting for equitable education through a great many ways. In addition to using our desegregation docket and leveraging that to push back against the resegregation of schools internally and to make sure that resources are equitably distributed. We are also finding that there are new policies, and we talked about some of that in terms of school discipline and particular ways in which students of color are targeted, the use of federal funds to put school safety officers in schools that ultimately harm them not only emotionally and educationally, but potentially physically, and engage them in the criminal justice system. And we are attacking all of those policies through our policy work and in litigation, and we have suits in different states where we have found some of the most egregious instances of discrimination and have tried to challenge those directly. So there's a lot that I think LDF and all the other groups on this call are doing to educate and to engage in legal action and advocacy to push back against what we see as a dereliction of duty from the Department of Education, and at the same time to still hold that department to task, because it should not be left only to civil rights groups to enforce this nation's civil rights laws.
Yeah, and I'll just, Maria, thanks for the question, and we'll have the team here dig into the numbers. The numbers are not, or the data isn't that good. Good enough to dig in and find out how many Latino students in particular, but we can share what we have. I would say with respect to responding, though, I mentioned the Congress, right? The Congress has a role, too, to continue to conduct oversight, which is why we're having hearings in the first place, and we too, are sharing questions and making sure that the Secretary is held accountable and responding to the areas of concern and interest that are a priority to the community. In addition to that, I would say, you know, we're in the midst of implementing a new federal law, and the Every Student Succeeds Act is now going to the states, and that's where we're doing some significant work in states to work with, you know, the governors and state education leaders and the Latino community and parents and others to weigh in on state plans and make sure that the states are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And making sure that we're lifting up our voices around key priorities, including, for example, making sure that states are including English language learners in their accountability systems. It's going to be another opportunity for us to really weigh in very carefully and to make sure that the Latino community is outspoken about the things that matter to them.
Okay, thank you.
And if I could just add, this is Mara Keevlin again. Very importantly, part of why we are all here together is because we understand that, you know, the hundreds of thousands of transgender students, close to 20% of those, because close to 20% of the population is Latino, that is probably true of our students too. So if Latino students or Spanish-speaking students or immigrant students or women students are being discriminated, that impacts all of the different students. If the systems are not working well, if the systems are underfunded, that impacts all of our students, and it impacts our country. That is a big reason why we're here together.
Hi, this is Mimi Corcoran from the National Center for Learning Disabilities. Our platform is both in English and Spanish, and our primary strategy is to inform parents and help them work together with schools. But first and foremost, we want to make sure they know their rights, and can build a collaborative relationship with schools. We aren't considering lawsuits at this time, but we're carefully monitoring and would consider weighing in where and if appropriate. But right now, we're more focused on collaboration, making sure that we have information that's easily accessible to Latina speakers and understanding, and English speakers, and so that they can understand their rights, and also know that they can put pressure on the local, at the local levels, and really move for schools and parents to work together.
Thanks, Maria. Operator, can we have the next question, please?
Yes, and once again, as a reminder, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone phone. Now, we will pause for a few moments to see if any other further questions queue. That is star and one to ask a question. And it does appear that we have no further questions at this time.
Thanks, operator. And thanks to everyone for joining the call today. We'll all look forward to the hearing tomorrow morning. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you so much, Liz.